Good afternoon, folks, if you're listening. This is John Johnson on Radio Edutalk. I've just spent most of the last couple of days at the Scottish Learning Festival, and I thought it might be a nice idea, before it goes right out of my head, to do some talking about it. Normally I would wait a day or two and write a wee blog post, but I thought maybe I would talk. And I'd also invite anybody else who wants to join in, if anybody's listening, to get in touch via Skype, and you can join in the broadcast. My Skype name is John H. Johnson. That's J-O-H-N-H-J-O-H-N-S-T-O-N. And just try and contact me in Skype. If I don't seem to be responding, maybe shout at Twitter or something like that. So I'm lucky enough, and one of the things I think every year at Scottish Learning Festival that I've been to is that how fortunate I am to be able to go along to meet lots of other folk, have really interesting discussions about people who are enthusiastic about education in all sorts of ways. And this isn't a chance that many teachers get. I've been lucky over the years to be part of the masterclass community, where part of that was you got to go to the Scottish Learning Festival, and then I was a GLOW mentor. And since then, I have been working as a staff development officer in North Lanarkshire, and because I'm not class committed, I can of course go along to the Learning Festival. It would be one of the things I thought today, but I say every time, is it'd be really great for everybody, or lots of people, to get that opportunity. But they don't have, unfortunately. So I started off yesterday, getting there bright and early, before 9 o'clock, to try and pick up my tickets and find out what seminars I'd booked and things. Got in there pretty sharp. And one of the seminars I had booked up for was the e-portfolio solution in GLOW. And online it had been then told me that this had been cancelled. But when I went along to the booth, I saw there were still tickets. So I chanced my arm and grabbed a ticket for that and hurried along to Bosiedale. But it was actually in fact cancelled, which is a bit disappointing from my point of view, because of the amount of time that I've spent on e-portfolios, and as an authority in North Lanarkshire, we've spent a lot of time looking at these and working with these, with thousands of e-portfolios set up, and it's always good to hear from the source. The next thing I went to was the Minister's address, the Cabinet Secretary's address, Mike Russell, talking to everybody, introducing the Learning Festival. I won't talk too much about that, as a couple of things. Listening to Mr. Russell, he is a very good inspirational speaker, I feel. He talks very well. He's got a great voice for rallying things and saying how good things are, which is nice to hear. He also traditionally has opened the floor to questions at Scottish Learning Festival. We did this again, and that's quite an admirable thing, I think. I wasn't at the festival last year, but previous years I'd noticed that one of his answers to questions was, we are in discussion about this still, and we're talking about this, and we're keen to have a dialogue. And this year it sort of was, and this is maybe a bit harsh, but it sort of seemed to be changed to, when people asked him questions, well, that's interesting, but you really need to have a conversation with, for example, the SQA. And he was very humorous and good-natured, and he pointed out the people in the audience in the SQA who the questioners needed to have a talk to, which was good, or good for a laugh at least. And maybe it did do some good and put people in contact with the right folk. He was asked a question which I was quite keen to ask something around myself, but didn't have the, I suppose, courage to ask about GLOW. And answered that by basically saying progress is being made, and it has been less speedy than hoped for. I'm maybe paraphrasing a wee bit, it had some bumps in the road, but he was thinking positively about it. And finding out about Glow was one of the main reasons that I would be at the festival this year, given that an awful lot of my day-to-day business over the last few years has been taken up with Glow. I don't suppose it's a minister's place to give much more detail than that, and I'd find out other things about what was going on later on over the conference. The first seminar I actually went to that went on was one by a couple of guys from Hamilton College. I'm just digging out various sets of notes because I took notes in various ways. One of the things that was interesting in the festival was to see how many people were using tablets, and in particular iPads and iPad minis, to take notes during different sessions. And I certainly used that, and other kinds. I used bits of paper and I used my phone, depending on where I was. One of the disappointments for me was this year was the lack of Wi-Fi. There was an SLF 2013 Wi-Fi network, but when you went on, you were given 15 free minutes, and after that it was paid for. Most of the things I would do from the Learning Festival, such as Twitter, don't need an awful lot of bandwidth. I'm quite happy with my phone, but when you go into the conference rooms and listen to a seminar, the phone signal is not good enough. So it was a wee bit disappointing that they hadn't given everybody free Wi-Fi as they had in past years to the festival. The first seminar, as I say, was from two guys from Hamilton College, and they were talking about Lego Mindstorms. And I must admit that I've noticed lots of things about Lego Mindstorms, but never really settled down to have a good look at it. And they were talking and showed the sort of Lego robots and the interface for programming these things. And the programming they can do is just very impressive. And the other thing that's very impressive is this software, which I think was NXT. It was certainly NXT kit they were talking about, which consisted of this CPU brick and sensors and outputs. And you could look at that as a brick with all these sensors on, and they could be built then into a kit that would actually do something, and would move around or would report back and all the rest of it. The programming, the first set of program they showed was sort of software blocks, very like Scratch, and this would be a great way to maybe step up Scratch a wee bit. And they pointed out that one of the sort of, or some of the benefits of these were you can't make spelling mistakes, and anybody that codes a wee bit knows that you can spend an awful lot of time searching for that typo that you've made in a variable or something. So there's no spelling mistakes or syntax problems with spelling in the blocks environment, and you seem to be able to do quite complicated things. They said the reason that they were doing this was because to engage the children, either because some of them knew already about Lego and played with Lego, although I'm not sure how many teenagers would consider admitting to playing anymore, but they certainly could be familiar, but they could offer real challenges and set a real context for programming, as opposed to maybe a more paper-based or theoretical exercise. And you could see physically the changes that were made by changing the code. So you write a bit of code on your computer, fire it over to the robot, and immediately see the effects, and the real effects, not just some text coming back. In effect, they covered a huge swathe of E&Os, and they put this into an interdisciplinary learning course, which included teachers from staff from computing, tech, business and RE for their first and second years. There was a lot of independent learning. The children could refer to videos on the school Moodle site where they could access instructions and help. And they had lots of videos of the children talking about what they were doing, and they were really enthusiastic and in general positive about nearly every aspect of the process. I would say a big plus. Maybe the only minus was the actual cost of the robots. I think they said these ones were £1,200 for five, and they were figuring five for a class for groups of four, and I guess a standard secondary class with activities, a science class or a tech class, 20 is about the right number. So that's quite a big investment if you're only using them once or twice a week. They did point out they could be used in different areas. They were using them in other ways in tech. They were using the same kit for different sorts of projects. So possibly that would get me more bangs for your buck. Very, very interesting in general seminar. A few things to think about. I was a bit disappointed that the software didn't have a sort of built-in simulator. And although the whole point of it is you've got a real robot, it would be nice to be able to have, say, a class of kids testing their code. And once they've got it running on the simulator, then they could access the robots, and that would maybe cut down the number of robots you need. But maybe that's not a great idea from the Lego folks. The Lego folks' idea. The second seminar I went to on the Wednesday was Future Learnings in Primary School from Struthers Primary School in Ayrshire, in Troon, in fact. And what I really liked about this one was they very clearly said they weren't cracking new ground or doing something that it would be really difficult for other people to replicate, and they give you pretty clear idea of what they were doing and how to do it. Basically, and this is again it's my interpretation, they were using digital media across different stages in school. What they had done is designed a media room. Now, we're quite often involved in conversations in school about whether it's good to have a lab or PCs and computers, and this is primary school I'm talking about, should be distributed throughout the classroom. And the idea of a lot of people take away from it, Curriculum for Excellence, is we shouldn't have a classroom full of computers where children are just going into the computer suite and all doing the same lesson at the same time. What was really nice, again, about South Ayrshire is that they had not a suite, they had a media room. And this didn't consist of all the PCs sitting around the room facing the one way or facing out to the walls. This consisted of different stations. They had a whole wall which they had green screen turned into a green screen wall by painting it the right green colour. They had a smart board. They had an animation station, a movie editing station where kids could move around. They had a mix of technologies. I think the school had PCs, but they had bought a Mac. I presume for the affordances it gives you when you're editing digital media, animating and the likes. They had bought some iPads. They had a mix of devices. They'd brought the Wii, and most schools now have a Wii, back into the media lab to be used across the curriculum rather than, as the head teacher explained, for the usual sort of golden time. And I think maybe quite a few Wiis out in schools are left for that, but they'd brought it in to use as stimulus and things for lessons, to starter lessons. So different stations they had. They had a storyboarding station. After they had maybe done some games-based learning as stimulus and talked about what they were doing, one of the stations they had is storyboarding. For storyboarding, whichever kind of media, animation, movie, cartoon they were using. And they were talking a lot about the impact on writing, the impact on literacy, not the impact on digital necessarily, although that was in. They would have a filming station, a station with Roma robots, for instance, different stations where children would go down and do different things that were all connected through the curriculum. I really liked the approach. They had the children talking, as usual. Children can explain with enthusiasm what they're doing, and I think it's always nice for teachers to go along to conferences and actually see children taking part as well. So that was nice to listen to these guys. And then they showed us the media they made, and what I was really sort of delighted about, I suppose, is that this wasn't some sort of really highly polished pieces of media. This was, in some cases, the children's first attempts. They had been primary twos using photo story to have text and pictures and to talk about their exercises, I think that was. And it was lovely. There was a good few typos and spelling mistakes along the way. But the children obviously had, it was all the children's own work and it was being celebrated, which was great. They also had a really nice, I thought, animation technique where they had made a movie, and I think this was Primary Fives, if I remember rightly. I didn't write down my notes. But the children had been asked to make a movie about internet safety for the rest of the school. And they had done this not as by videoing, but by making a sort of animated movie from lots and lots and lots of still pictures. So you had a kind of sweet, jerky movement that went along with the storytelling. And the other thing was, and again, the staff at the school described how they had been surprised by the sort of darkness of the children's story, because they had taken a wee girl who had been sucked in by a stalker of some sort and met them in real life and been kidnapped and disappeared. It's reasonably dark for the primary fives, but I think obviously the children were understanding what they were doing. And as I say, I particularly enjoyed that animation technique of taking lots of pictures. I think they used iPads for that and stitching them together into a sort of slightly jerky, old-fashioned type of movie, which was lovely because I think maybe it was more expressive of the expressions and the acting of the children than actual video footage were. So again, that was a great seminar. Of course, half the thing about going to Scottish Learning Festival, anything else, is meeting with different people. And in between these seminars and all the rest of it, I was meeting and talking to different people. It was good to meet people who I hadn't seen for a long time, like Nick Hood, who's now seems to be working in Edinburgh University. Nick is always a great person to listen to about education, and always gives really deeply thought out views that come from other places than I would think. Yeah. So it's great to talk to Nick, and also to talk to people outside Scottish education. Doug Belshaw was up and talking to lots of different people about lots of different things. Again, a great person to talk to and bounce ideas off and get ideas from and hear what he's doing at Mozilla. Meeting other people from Scotland who are involved in Glow and things. As I talk, and I don't know if there's any listeners, it would be nice if you are listening, you popped it into Twitter, just tweeted at me and let me know, just in case there is anybody listening live. And the other thing is, if you would like to join me in some conversation, you could get on to Skype and Skype John H. Johnston, J-O-H-N-H-J-O-H-N-S-T-O-N, and we can have a chat. You would need to maybe make a request, but I think you could probably just pop my name in, add me as a contact, and click Skype me. I would pull you in. And I say, if I don't notice the Skype icon bouncing up and down on my computer, a tweet might work as well. So this idea of meeting lots of people was the main focus, was the main focus of Teach Meet. So about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I set off for the SQA in Scotland to go to the Teach Meet. And it's a while since I've been to a Teach Meet. I've missed one or two. And I was wondering if there was still the same energy in a Teach Meet as you got in days of yore, and the good old days or whatever. And of course there was. I had a great bunch of folk talking. It looked like there was about 50 to 80 people in the room. A slight technical hitch is, again, the Wi-Fi didn't come through for everybody, so we didn't have any Wi-Fi, and I was hoping to broadcast this on the radio. And what delighted me was that I broadcast it through my Mac from using Nicecast, like I'm doing now, but just by using my phone as a modem on 3G, and it only seemed to eat up about a quarter of my monthly allowance of data, which is quite surprised because I think we broadcast a couple of hours. I'll not say too much about the content of the different presentations that Teach Me, but because I've got the archive to chop up and add to Edutalk over the next couple of days, I would just say that if you do listen to any, or if you were there live at Teach Me, you would have had a great time, because there was some fantastic presentations, some great stuff from all over the place, and I mean all over the place in all its aspects, from different areas of Scotland, but also from the near field, the far field, the left field, and the way out field, and different kinds of presentations, people who just talked without any slides, people who just came up and played a movie, and people who had presentations. So there was all sorts of stuff, and it was all fascinating. I also went into the had a series of round tables, and one of the problems with those is you can only go to one. And I went into one with Digital Katie, who was talking about her work with Nesta and digital media in schools. And what was really interesting is it wasn't her talking about her work so much as saying to people, what do you want? And what people wanted was lots of different things, because there was people there from the north of Scotland. There was people there from all over the place. So that was quite fascinating to kind of listen to that, because we want different things. People in the Highlands are a lot more open, I think, to having online conferences and online work because of the distances involved in that authority. And I think people maybe in the Central Belt are thinking, well, face-to-face, there's nothing wrong with that, we can do that. So that was an interesting conversation to have. How do we effectively promote digital literacy and digital media, and using digital media in CPD to different teachers. So I thoroughly enjoyed that. We went back to the Teach Meet. I got to say my bit, which was basically just a quick promo of Scott Edgy blogs, and I was delighted to already in my mailbox, which I've not done yet, but it'll be the next thing on my to-do list, is to add a few blogs into the mix. So thanks to everybody that sent in their blog. And the other thing I was talking about was Edutalk. And lastly, my bit of fun for the evening, I quickly mentioned the Pirate Box. And if you have a look at my blog or something, you'll know I've been messing about with making a Pirate Box for Teach Meet for a while. And this was its first real outing at a Teach Meet. And I'm pleased to say that some people did connect to it and uploaded a few photographs at least of the Teach Me as they were going on. So that was really, really nice to see that go. I was dead pleased about that. Oh, wow, and I'm just getting a tweet from Wise Man. WHYS Man 2, who says he's listening in. So hi, Wise Man, a great Twitter handle, who said he did some live interviews from SLF with teachers and pupils for Inverclyde Radio, and he has tweeted the URL. So if you high on over to Twitter, you can see that if you search for John Jones. Maybe don't listen to it right now if you're listening here, because you would miss the rest of me and I wouldn't have the audience. But inverclyderadio.com/FLA/page27.html. So that really sounds great. I'm looking forward to catching up on that. Wise Man is Clydeside Schools and now beyond, celebrating the work of George Wiley, sculptor, musician, dramatist and poet. And they've got also wiseman.org.uk. So that's nice. Hi, Wise Man. Thanks for being the audience, or hopefully part of the audience, if you want to join in. hit the Skype. Teach Meet, of course, ended with Teach Eat. We went off to a pub round the corner where we all had pizza and a pint and much more talking and networking, and a good night, I think, was had by all. I was up early today. Well, not that early, actually, because I live so near SLF, it's easier to get there than it is to get to work. But I was going along a wee bit early because I was invited along by Con Morrison and Anna Rosfall to a meet-up for the people who had some input into what we wanted, maybe, out of the new Glow to some extent. And it was quite interesting because we've just moved, or partially moved, to a new system in Glow, the new SharePoint 365 site, which is sort of spreading throughout Scotland, and the old Glow is withering away a wee bit. And there's been some consternation, I would say, about jumping into a blank SharePoint space, which still seems to have a good few bugs. And the interface is maybe not the most friendly I've ever seen in my life. I think I was reasonably reassured by seeing the work that Con and Anna have been doing, that at least we'll get, if they can iron out the bugs that are in SharePoint, and if they can apply the, not so much skin or themes or way of working that Con and Anna have put together. They've got some SharePoint designers working on this, and could show us some sort of mock-ups and wireframes of things and how it would work. And it certainly looked a lot sweeter than what we've got at the moment. There was a couple of simple templates people would be able to use for learning spaces in Glow, which looked good. There was a lot of fairly robust discussion about the way Glow was going, what we need and what we're getting. Hopefully useful to Con and Anna, who are both working their socks off. Very impressed with the amount of work they've done. We had a look at Anna's learning catalogue, LearnCat, which I think is just a great concept. Somewhat hindered at the moment by being spread across the old Glow, the new Glow, and a Glow blog, but a great concept and way of working, where she's managed to put together some really nice learning experiences for children, some of which I hope can just be dipped into and picked up, and others could become quite rich. They've also started just having some pupils start up ideas, and there seems to be a wee community growing around Minecraft, for instance, which to some extent seems pupil driven. It's hard to know so far, only having had a quick look, but that looks interesting. If Glow can manage to give us something that pupils can go in and organise some of their own learning, it may be a good way forward, or as a good sign things are going on. I left that and had by this time missed my first seminar this morning, but I got to just in time my second one, which I have unfortunately forgotten to take the actual note of, but it was about the new Glow from more of an Education Scotland sort of standard point, and it was a presentation given by Jen McDougall and Dawn from Education Scotland. And we're also introduced to James Fanning, who is the new head of Glow in Scotland. So James certainly said, he gave his email address out at that thing and said he was happy for people to contact him and talk through a few things. So I'm looking forward to sending him maybe a mail to back up the sort of reports we've been doing inside Glow about how we're getting on with the new environment. And it's very early days yet. The question, and again, Jen and Don were very open to questions that I had, was that there seems to be still quite a lot of bugs and things that need ironed out. This is before we get to Quan and Anna's new interface. There seems quite a few things that need ironed out in Glow. And when will it be ready? And the answer seemed to be, well, soonish. Some people are already in and using it. I don't know how strongly I would recommend diving in yet until things, if you're not, I'm not saying tech savvy, but if you're not happy with things going wrong in the classroom, I think I would maybe be keeping away from the SharePoint portal for now. What was clear is that the two of the big affordances, which we probably shouldn't miss out because some other things are bad at the moment in Glow, is that we've got a good email system, you get a good Outlook email system. And I'm guessing people, not me, who are used to Outlook will be very happy in there. And you've also got this SkyDrive, which links up to Office. And if you're using a modern version of Office, you can save Office documents out to your SkyDrive and access them through Glow. But you can also, in Glow and in the web, you have access to Word, PowerPoint, etc. in the web rather than opening up a different application. So that would mean pupils could do something in school, work at home, and use the same tools. Personally, I've not had as great a need for these tools, Word and things, as other people might. I can see in a secondary situation that they may be very useful tools, and many primary school teachers would enjoy using them too. I think the synchronisation is a real win and a very useful thing. So the rest of my day after seeing that was really involved in talking to other people about Glow, where it was going, how things were happening. And the big takeaway, really, I think, from the whole couple of days is that I'm hanging fire. I'm waiting to see how it develops. I'll take baby steps going in as much as possible. Anyway, I hope if you were at SLF, you had a really good couple of days. I hope that you found it as interesting and stimulating as I did. I didn't speak much about what I saw on the floor. I didn't really spend that much time looking at people selling things and on stalls. I just spent time talking to people and trying to find out what was going on, finding out about good practice and networking with people that I knew from around Scotland, people I didn't know. I had a great conversation with Pam Curry about the Ryder Cup work she's doing. I had a delightful conversation with Alison, who's involved with David Gilroy, hard to pronounce, on the work they're doing towards the Commonwealth Games coming to Scotland, and that's going to be a really exciting project. We talked to David a while ago on Radio Edutalk, and kind of refer you to that and the links there if you want to find out more about that. And at Pam's, I'll be adding Pam's audio into Edutalk soon, as soon as it's edited. And by edited, I mean chopped up and levelled stuff from Teach Meet. I don't mean edited in any sort of thoughtful way. Certainly not in cutting anything out. We'll just cut up and put up the presentations from Teach Meet. So if you listened, either live, thanks for listening. If you're listening to the podcast, I hope it's useful to you. If you weren't at SLF, I hope you can go to something like this soon, because it can be a great experience. Thank you for listening, and cheers.